one hour at Gillette Stadium. Gerard Mayo will be with us, but right now, Boomer Esiason. Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by your New England Kubota tractor dealer. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, man. It's a Jacoby Brissett day up there in New England, I'm sure.
Well, and it's Aaron Rodgers day where you are.
Oh, sure. My God. It is a nightmare here. I can tell you that. So let's talk about the good things first. How about that?
We're in.
All right, well, the good things are, number one, Jacoby Brissett, you know, I'm really happy for him because he comes in, he plays a really good second half, doesn't turn the ball over, does exactly what a backup quarterback should do. Number two, I think your secondary is really a tremendous secondary. I mean, that was a hell of a performance yesterday. I know that there were some plays that were going to be made, but, you know, Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams were on the field. They are pretty special. And number three, I have to say, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers has any answers in this regard, but this team went all in, and we're looking at a total overhaul next year for the New York Jets because I think they probably have come to the realization that they are absolutely going nowhere this year. They needed to win this game. They didn't win it. Season, to me, looks like it's cooked, and it's going to be really hard to keep these guys motivated as they move forward through the rest of the season.
The delay calls, are those on him? I mean, one of them ended up costing them the chance to get the two-point conversion, which would have change things at the end of that game.
Completely inexcusable. I mean, especially with a 40-year-old quarterback, even though you have a new offensive coordinator over the last couple weeks that is calling plays from the sideline, the quarterback should know the plays, should know the formation, should know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, I saw his explanation after the game. A couple times they were lagging in the huddle. Other times they had problems with personnel. The two-point play was an absolute disaster because ultimately – you know, it's really, it would have been a different game had they scored that. But, you know, they have kicking problems, and they have had kicking problems. I mean, whatever could go wrong has gone wrong for what many people think. I'm not saying this, but a lot of fans around here are saying it, is a cursed franchise that Hall of Famers come here to go die. And unfortunately, we may be witnessing that right now.
Here, fans and Patriots players and some coaches really upset about the no call on the helmet to helmet with Drake May.
Yes. Okay. So I agree, especially after there was a rough in the passer against Jacoby Brissett that didn't look like anything. You know, and it's also when you go back to the game in which we saw Sam Darnold's head almost tore off last week, and they don't see it against the Rams. So they're going to miss calls. It's always judgment. It comes down to that. The other thing I will say, if we think back to our conversations early on in the year, and you guys were wondering when Drake May was going to play, and I was saying, well, it's going to take a little time. He needs to sit there and watch and see how a game unfolds and kind of have those experiences on the sideline. So when he does go in, he is ready. And by the way, he was ready yesterday. I mean, if it weren't for the drop passes early in the game, I mean, he was taking off and running and getting first downs. I mean, he looked every bit the part of a very, very successful player and somebody who has a bright future in this league. But this is what happens with these young guys, man. They put themselves out there. They run. They take hits. And unfortunately for Drake now, maybe it looks like he'll probably be out for at least a couple of weeks, if not more, given the sensitivities surrounding concussions these days.
Boomer, when you look at this game yesterday, I think one of the things that we kind of – We had issues with all week where some of these wide receivers talking about what they wanted to do, how much they wanted the football, and they clearly had some drops. Have you ever been a part of that where guys haven't really established themselves in the league and are complaining about touches?
All right, so I never had to really deal with the complaining about touches, but in 1995, the dark ages here for the New York Jets, I started a season and went to training camp with four receptions as the total number of receptions for the wide receiver corps going into the season. That was the year that Wayne Corbett was a rookie, and he made the team, and he started. And it was good for him because it gave him an opportunity to have a really, really great career for the Jets. But it was not great for us because he ended up being our leading receiver that year. And that just went to show you just how inexperienced we were at the position. So If I were the Patriot receivers, I'd just keep my mouth shut, really, honestly. with a couple of those drops early on and then later on in the game with Jacoby even throwing the ball, it was really frustrating. I can imagine from a fan standpoint for the New England Patriots, because just watching the game and watching those drops, and I thought that Adam Archuleta was really doing a good job in terms of pointing those things out. They have issues there. I mean, and it's been an issue since they started the season. So hopefully, you know, they'll get their act straight before the season's over. But I would think that there's going to be a few changes at that position next year.
Boomer, my lead this morning was that I'd rather be on a 2-6 Patriots team in a rebuild mode than a Jets team that's 2-6 that had all the expectations in the world that thought that this was a Super Bowl bound Jets team. Where do you stand on that? They're both 2-6, but it seems like the Patriots have their future in Drake May, but the Jets are falling apart. Both have dysfunction in the locker room.
You know, Courtney, it's got to be really tough for you being the smartest person in that room.
She really
honestly.
Is.
I feel the same way you do. I mean, the Patriots at least have a future, maybe not an immediate future. No, neither one of these teams is going to the playoffs now. But at least they have their young, vibrant quarterback that a fan base can believe in. Now, when he comes back on the field, nobody knows. But I think you hit it right on the head. The Jets are an older team. They went all in. They fired their coach 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is a dumpster fire that is just raging out of control at the moment. They got a quarterback that goes on national television every week to try to explain away the darkness and everything else. It's just the Jet fan has probably had enough. I work with a bunch of Jet fans down here at WFAN, and they are livid, to say the least. So it is definitely ugly, and I think, Courtney, you are 100% correct.
Boomer, yesterday felt like an old-school Belichick type of win, where you have a week of chaos, you have the soft comments, you have the discussion of further mutiny in the locker room, you lose your quarterback early in the game, and yet somehow the team, specifically the defense, rallied around their embattled coach in Jerod Mayo yesterday.
Yeah, you know what's amazing is that how we all process the comments from Jerod Mayo last week about his team being soft, and I was explaining that sometimes, you know, the player comes out in these coaches, especially when they're recently off the field within the last 5 years or so, and I think Jerod wore his emotions on his sleeve, and we didn't know how the team was going to react. Is the team going to, like, shut down on him? Is the team going to play harder for him? And then when you win a game like they did yesterday, you have a great feeling in the locker room, and I heard reports about the different nature of the locker rooms, of course, that the Patriots, you know, after losing so many games in a row, finally won one at home. I don't think they had won one at home since last October. So it's been a long time coming, and it really is a good reflection that the players came out and they played hard, and almost to a man, every player said that they took those comments as a challenge as opposed to an insult. And that's a credit to the players, and that's also a credit to the coach, who obviously knows the room, knows his team, so he knows what he can say. And I'm sure it was a long week for him, but getting a victory the way they did yesterday had to be the ultimate satisfying win for him, at least in his young head coaching career.
Did young Boomer Esiason often dream of throwing a Hail Mary to win a football game like Jaden Daniels did yesterday?
Oh, man. I mean, that guy launched the ball. It looked like, I think it was about 65 yards in the air. And the fact that he was able to run around for about 5 or 6 seconds because the Bears ended up only rushing three guys should be a warning to every defense in that situation that you got to send at least one more guy. You got to get some sort of pressure. But, yeah, it was a remarkable throw, a remarkable play, in otherwise a very, very bad offensive game. I mean, it was ugly. And both quarterbacks didn't play all that great. I mean, reflective of the score. But, man, that Hail Mary was amazing. I mean, they all are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Boomer, one of the things that I look at now, and I know we kind of go back and we say, oh, if the Patriots would have done this. If you're Jerod Mayo, you're that coaching staff, and are you sitting there and looking and going, I know it's kind of revisionist history, but I feel like every week with the performance of the Washington Commanders, the Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos, all three of these young quarterbacks have been able to elevate their team in a position where they are competitive and making a push for the playoffs, it has to be something that they sit there and think about. We should have started this kid Drake May week one.
Yeah, I I'm going to go back to just sitting and getting experience, and I have no problem with what the Patriots did. And I know it's easy to look at these other players around the league and say, hey, they're having success, they're elevating their team. And I think Drake May has elevated his team. As a matter of fact, the moment that he took over, they started throwing the ball down the field, and he could make throws on the run, and he was doing things that Jacoby Brissett wasn't doing. And I think that's a product of him sitting there watching, and by the time they put him on the field, he was imminently ready to be successful. Now, he takes this hit yesterday. It's really unfortunate, but that's the life of a rookie quarterback sometimes. I don't realize how fast things go. I actually thought early in the game yesterday that he really played smart, that when he took off and the way that Adam Archuleta was describing the Jets' pass rush, which was completely undisciplined, he was able to take advantage of it. But I don't think that they regret the fact that they held them back. I mean, let's face it, Jermaine, this team's not going to the playoffs. The Jets are not going to the playoffs. This is a rebuilding year for Elliott Wolf and for Jerod Mayo and for Bob Kraft. And they got the most important piece, it looks like. And now they have to fill in around them, spend some money next offseason, have a couple high draft picks, be able to, you know, maybe get some wide receivers and improve the offensive line, which is going to be paramount for his success moving forward.
Speaking of throwing the football, Jameis Winston threw for 344 yards in that upset. What happens with Deshaun Watson? I mean, they owe him so much money. What do you guess happens with him?
My feeling is he's done in Cleveland. They have to figure out how to get out from underneath the contract. He'll most likely be on the roster next year because he's coming off of this knee injury. I don't know when he would be able to return. I feel like it takes at least 8 months to come back from something like that. So, but that would probably be towards the early part of next year. This is the second year in a row now that they've had a backup quarterback come in and actually make the team look competent, especially on offense. It's amazing what Jameis did, just like what Joe Flacco did last year. So I don't see him suiting up as a Browns quarterback. I really don't. But then again, is Jameis the future? I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the case, too, because maybe if he does have success, maybe the Browns are not going to bring him back, much like they didn't bring back Joe Flacco because they don't want to hurt Deshaun Watson's feelings. I just don't get it. The Browns are the Browns, will always be the Browns, and just never seem to get it right.
Question of the week for Boomer Esiason, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Did you ever, when you were starting quarterback, did you ever ask to come out of a game because you were tired, like Anthony Richardson?
No, I didn't. I saw this yesterday, too, and I was Tiki Barber was doing a game. And I was texting him during the game going, what in the F just happened? Why did he take himself out of the game? You know, and I was like, this is ridiculous. So he said he was tired. He acted like he was a running back, tapped his helmet. And I'm like, if I were the backup quarterback, I'd be like, what just happened? I'd have to go find my helmet. So I have never seen anything like that. And I never did anything like that. But then again, I don't necessarily know that I ran as much as he ran in a game. So from personal experience, I could tell you no, but I could also say that maybe he just was being honest, and I can appreciate that, I guess.
When you look at that Dolphins team, and they dropped that game yesterday by one, but Tua back in, how do you feel like he looked coming back in after the concussion?
I thought he looked good.
Yeah, and do you think that he's owed more credit for keeping that team in a better place?
I think that he's the key. He's the key to that whole thing. I mean, you know, is their season over? It's weird because, you know, they are 2-5. The Bills win yesterday, a huge win out in Seattle. They're 6-2 right now. I feel safe to say that Buffalo, unless there's an injury to Josh Allen, is going to win this division again. I think with 5 losses, Miami has a chance still to turn their season around. I think if you have 6 or more losses, you might as well just kiss it goodbye and just say that, you know, next year is the thing that we got to be looking forward to. But, yeah, I was pretty happy with Tua yesterday watching him. And they looked, again, offensively a little bit more normal than what they have been looking like. Their defense is really suspect, so I worry about that defense.
All right, Boomer, good luck with the Jets fans the rest of the week.
All my, well, Jets and Yankee fans, by the way.
We will talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Bye.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants and Pubs. The Patriots take down the Jets 25-22 to get to their second win of the season, this time in front of a home crowd. Drake May went out after completing 3 of 6 passes for 23 yards and rushing for 46 and a touchdown. He's in concussion protocol on a helmet-to-helmet that was not called. Scary when you hear Boomer say that he expects him to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Wiggy feels differently about that, so I will find out. We'll see. I mean, we won't get much from Gerard about that, I'm sure, but we'll find out.
Yep, he will join us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. Monday Night Football, we'll see the Giants taking on the Steelers. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. The Celtics got a win on Saturday over the Pistons. They're back home tonight to take on the Bucks. 7:30 tip. And the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs in overtime on Saturday. They have the Flyers at home tomorrow night. The Dodgers are up 2 games on the Yankees in the World Series. The game returns to the Bronx tonight. First pitch at 8:08. Walker Buehler set to take the mound for the Dodgers, opposing Clark Schmidt. Shohei Ohtani expected to make his return after suffering a shoulder injury on Saturday in Game 2.
Dodgers sweep still in play.
It is.
Look out.
The Aaron Judge memes are the best.
Oh.
Because he, you know, I haven't watched much of it because he can't hit a beach ball. The memes are so funny.
It is amazing.
And kids eat free at the 99 restaurant on Halloween. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids can get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchased. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 37 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 51. Gonna warm up this week to possibly 80 on Halloween.
All right, we will get to Courtney in today's news next from Gillette Stadium. And then I have a pair of Bruins tickets to give away, and I will give those away coming up at 8:45. We are at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday and a Mayo Monday. Gerard Mayo with us in about a half an hour, sometime after 9 this morning, talking about a win. Hopefully your newfound gambling addiction has not gotten in the way of you preparing the news this morning.
Nope. I'm well prepared.
Some are worried about you. The you go from losing the 11-leg parlay yesterday to doubling down with a 7-legger last night.
Yep.
And then now this morning, you and Wiggy have been
a 9-legger.
Yeah. A 9-legger for this evening.
Correct.
I'm just worried. I mean, I know you're saving for a home.
Yeah. But girl math. Yeah. I am just reinvesting. Like, I put $50 into my account.
Mm-hmm.
I got up to $84 last night.
Yeah.
And now I'm investing $50 into the game this evening to hopefully win $750.
Okay. I just wouldn't lean on, pun intended, on the Parlay Prince or what do you...
Parlay Playboy. Mm-hmm. But I told you, don't lean on me.
No, I wouldn't.
Much.
I wouldn't.
No.
Because you never win.
Lean
them.
On me.
Listen, it's about... It's the parlay for me as somebody who's not a big sports gambler is the lottery. Because if I hit my one, then guess what? I had a $20, 25-leg parlay.
Too many legs.
I don't care.
Too many legs.
$1.3 million.
No, it's not.
All it takes
You're never going to hit that.
You never. Listen, it happens.
You're never likely to get struck by lightning. You're throwing money out the window.
It's 25 bucks.
$20. I'm just telling you.
That's all right.
Did we go over all 25 legs of that?
And they were actually pretty good.
They were not.
Yes, they were.
The Bucks screwed you, right?
I had the Bucks.
I told you to take the Falcons. What are you doing?
I had the Falcons. You know who killed me, Sean? The Ravens.
Yep.
And the Bengals.
They killed me, too.
Right,
yeah.
I think in some cases, you need to leave it to the experts. And this applies to everybody because the likelihood of hitting on the Niner tonight is a lot.
I feel good about it, though.
I'm sure you do.
I'm invigorated.
Most gamblers feel really good
about
it.
Trust me, I've said that many times.
But I'll say, Wiggy wanted me to go an 8-legger that would win me like $3,000, but I didn't feel confident in his picks, so I went with my own, and I feel really good.
Okay.
Courtney, we're beginners to us. Listen, it's a little bit of money. It's not like we're betting a lot of money. And if we do, it's like the lottery. Guess what? People win the lottery every single, you know, whatever it is when they win the lottery.
Every single whatever.
I don't know. What is it? Every couple of weeks, somebody's hitting the lottery. So it's our thing. The parlay, we've seen it before. We've seen people hit a 12, 13 leg. The guy who had 13 legs and he had the Jets game as his last one for $125,000.
Right. Mattress Mac.
And he would have lost because the Jets lost that game, but he cashed out.
No, he cashed out at like $6,000 though for like whatever it was, $10.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get to the news.
All right. Local authorities are warning about a brush fire, the danger of a brush fire, because we talked about this on Friday last week, because these have been popping up. I believe it was Blue Hills, the one last week. But over the weekend, there was a really big one in Salem and in Lynn. It happened late Saturday night. The fire sparked behind a Walmart, caused heavy smoke in the area, which is a bad week for this to happen going into Halloween week in Salem. We can hear from the Salem fire chief.
I don't anticipate this fire is going to go out anytime soon. We do have it somewhat contained. There are not a lot of structures in the area, so hopefully there's nothing threatened. Some help from nature, some appreciable rain, and or we run out of fuel. So this was on everybody's mind. It's been red flag now for a while, and it's as dry as I can remember in some time.
Curtis, a little help from Mother Nature coming. We're going to get some rain. Is that tomorrow?
Yeah, a little bit of rain. We have a little bit of showers that are going to come through right now in about 5 minutes, but nothing enough, not enough that will get rid of the fires, but it'll get a little moisture today and tomorrow, and then it's going to go back up into the mid to upper 70s on Thursday.
And maybe 80 for the trick-or-treaters.
And let me just tell you, I'm very happy to be James's dad. Mm-hmm. Halloween is a parent's delight. He doesn't know what half the candy is. Yeah. I had the sugar high of all sugar highs.
You already do the Southie one or whatever?
So Southie one on Broadway is on Thursday, but on Saturday, they, inside Castle Island, inside the fort, they created like a Halloween super fun event for all little kids.
That's so cool.
They had like a haunted house. James, not too much of a fan, but he and Kennedy were perusing, got some Swedish fish. Big fan of those, even though they're communist, and they got some Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
Lovely day all around.
I thought if I was correct in what I saw on Instagram, he dressed as Ronald Reagan. Is that correct?
He did, yes. He said, read my lips. No, that's the next guy. No, he said, tear down this wall.
What did he dress as?
I have a picture. Send it to Mitch. It was Dr. James. Taking care of family. He was very thoughtful in this one, and he has a nice shirt that says Dr. James Family Medicine, and I had blue scrubs underneath.
Yes.
And Kennedy was a kitten, and they were the stars of the show.
Wow.
That's
love it.
Excellent.
Yeah. I love it.
All right. Back to the news, please.
Police are looking for a male suspect who assaulted the store clerk with a hot pocket in Dorchester last weekend.
Hot pocket assault.
Yeah, hot pocket assault. So you have to wonder, how did he assault one with a hot pocket?
Yeah.
He threw it at the store clerk.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah, no, he was also brandishing a knife.
Those are
You can't eat them for a good... Well, you do eat them, but you shouldn't eat them for a good 20 minutes.
Right.
You are not a man if you didn't burn the roof of your mouth every single time you made a hot pocket in college.
Yeah. Lean pockets pretty good too.
Gross.
Really?
They are.
They're not good for you.
What's
No,
I know they're not really good for you, but lean pocket, you feel better about eating them, and they're not bad.
I don't know. You could give those a Z.
Give me the steak and cheese one and the pizza hot pocket. Those are the two my go-to.
The pizza's the best.
And then they have the breakfast ones, but I don't eat those. Those are for the kids.
Mm. Okay. A guy who bought Alec Murdoch's mansion in South Carolina claims he has found evidence in there that proves that Alec Murdoch is innocent.
Really?
So the guy's name's Alex Blair. He bought the mansion for $1 million in February, and he's working on renovating the property. He says he's in possession of the kennel door and window that contains bullet holes from the June 2021 shooting. The position of the bullet holes, he says, proves that Alec Murdoch did not kill his wife and son.
Okay.
He says basically the size of Alec Murdoch would not have the position be in which it is in the kennel door.
What does Proctor say?
Did he give this to Alec Murdoch's lawyer?
I'm assuming.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
My guess is people investigated the scene of the crime pretty extensively.
I think so,
I would think so,
I don't know about that. Just go to Canton. Let's be honest.
Okay. I mean, most places they do a pretty good job investigating the scene of the crime.
Was there a windmill?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, that guy is guilty as, in my opinion, guilty as sin.
Oh, my God. Nobody's been guiltier in my life than him.
No.
I mean, I
it's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Wisconsin pizzeria called Famous Yeti's Pizza. Wiggy's gonna love this story. Unintentionally served 60 pizzas infused with THC between Tuesday and Thursday of last week.
60 of them.
60.
Wow. Those people probably like they said, I gotta come back and order another one immediately.
Unfortunately. Like, called 911 on themselves. Severe paranoia.
Leave me alone. Let me have my pizza.
And so they started investigating. They found out that the chef had run out of his normal oil, and the pizza shop shares an industrial kitchen with other places and used some oil from there, thinking it was just normal cooking
canola oil.
Yeah, no, it was Delta 9 THC oil, and Delta 9 is described as one of the main cannabinoids responsible for marijuana's psychoactive, intoxicating, and or euphoric effects. Side effects include anxiety, paranoia, dizziness, and increased blood pressure, among others.
Is this the first time in history that pizza actually gave somebody the munchies?
Hey!
I would say.
I have a question because I'm a total loser and I didn't partake in marijuana. What does THC make you feel like? Are you like, is it like a buzz, like you're drinking?
You just feel like, it's like a buzz.
It makes me feel good.
Everybody's different, you know, depending on what it is.
But you would know bite into this pizza, though, like, holy guacamole.
Yeah, like, whoa, something ain't right. After you had your first slice, you'd be like, whoa.
So it makes me feel dizzy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really like it, to be honest.
It's better than alcohol.
Yep.
God love you. Uh-huh. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. How do you pronounce this? Mortuary?
Nailed it.
A mortuary.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Is auctioning off a crypt that's near Marilyn Monroe. It's located a row and four spaces to the left of where Monroe was laid to rest.
Okay.
And even closer to one Hugh Hefner.
Oh, wow.
It's located at Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park in Mortuary in LA, and they think it's going to go for a quarter to half a million.
So why would anybody want to be buried near Marilyn Monroe?
Oh.
Is that a Hollywood thing?
I think that a lot of people...
But it's the family who's making the decision. So I guess somebody who's rich...
Yes.
...would buy this for $250,000.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So that they could be... But do people shine? Do you even know who Marilyn Monroe is, or is she somebody that...
Yeah, the actress.
Everybody knows.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't. I mean, that's weird.
It'd have to be a huge Marilyn Monroe super fan.
Yeah,
you know, to be like, oh, I want to be laid to rest near her.
That's
right?
So weird.
That but seems like such you, a waste
Greg,
of money.
I know it's weird, but think about how many super fans there are. Like Elvis, like people are buying pubic hairs for $50,000. Let's be honest. So when you say that it's weird, it's really not that weird when you're thinking about super fans.
Well, I mean, I guess if you have unlimited dollars and you're a weird Marilyn Monroe fan, you'd want to be buried near her, but, you're dead. Who cares?
Hugh Hefner being there as well. I think that these people are just fame chasers, like Hollywood lovers. I think that it's the idea that maybe in the afterlife, those around you, buried around you, like how people get buried with their family.
Somebody should buy it and move the remains of Joe DiMaggio there. Because Joe, do you know the story of there?
No.
So they were married, got divorced. Joe DiMaggio was madly in love with her. She went on to marry the playwright Arthur Miller, but Joe DiMaggio would still go to her grave every year until he passed away on their anniversary and leave flowers and stuff because he loved love. Joe DiMaggio. So I know you're gonna cry.
Oh, that's
and he never got married again, huh?
Joe DiMaggio never got married. I don't think.
I would hope not if he's going to his ex.
Well, I don't think.
That's why I asked.
This is like Instagram pictures with you. Like you don't want to leave. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd be upset if Talina was going to the grave of her ex.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Like,
I hope Marilyn Monroe scrubbed her Instagram. Greg, I thought you were going in the Kennedy direction because Kennedys their fingerprints are all over the demise of Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, they are.
She knew too much too soon about JFK and Bobby's dad.
What was her cause of death, Marilyn Monroe?
It's up for debate.
Murder was
likely. Drugged.
I mean, it seems like, unfortunately, Curtis is correct that it could possibly be the Kennedys who offed her.
Correct.
Well, she had sex with.
Is Happy Birthday, Mr. President, that whole show and dance, was that to JFK?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was. And Jackie had to sit there and be like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
All right, what else? Anything else?
Well, we're going to end with science. It's determined the most popular wedding song of all time.
Oh wait a minute. Okay, you love this story, yeah. I'm sure. Science has determined the most popular wedding song of all time.
Yes.
I am...
99 Problems.
I am going to guess Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Good one, but not it.
Wedding songs?
Wedding
like the
song?
Most, not the first dance.
No, like the most requested played at a wedding.
Oh, the
wedding
chicken
song.
Dance. It's got to be the chicken
dance.
Dance.
No.
Electric
no.
Slide?
Nope. Nothing
what?
Like that.
Mambo number five.
No.
What?
I don't know.
You what, wanna,
jump
what
on
No
it.
Woman, No Cry.
What did you say, Shy?
Jump on it?
No.
House of Pain, Jump Around.
Nope.
Who's the artist?
Whitney Houston.
I Will Always Love You?
Nope. Good
oh,
one, though.
I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Oh, of course.
Yep.
Oh. Who doesn't want to dance when you hear that song?
Yep. That's my one of my best friends, Erin Hooley, now Sherry. That is her go-to wedding like song where everybody goes on the dance floor for her. She sings it. She puts on a great show.
Dance with
so we did it at mine, yeah.
I would have never thought about that.
Okay.
That's a great song.
How did they figure that out? Is it like Spotify playlist or something?
Spotify playlist. They went through and saw people searching like, you know, walk down the aisle versions of I Want to Dance with Somebody or first dance versions.
I run into a lot of people lately for some reason who listen to this show on Spotify.
Really?
And get upset when I don't mention that. So,
oh.
Yeah. So hello to all of you that are listening on Spotify or listening on the Odyssey app or listening on the radio or watching on YouTube or on Twitch. Is that it?
News? That's it for the
okay,
news.
Great. We are at, great job, Courtney.
Thank you.
We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Gerard Mayo coming up in about 15 minutes or so at 9. And next, I have Bruins tickets to give away, so if you want to win your way into the TD Garden, then don't go anywhere. We'll give those away coming up. I feel like there's a little bit of growing concern among some around you with regard to your gambling situation. I got a text message during the break from your husband who is concerned, I think.
He's also a liar. Oh, I mean, he said that he's paying for my phone bill now. Not the case. We'll both be paying.
Wait a minute. What happened?
Thank you for asking. I am no longer on my parents' family plan.
Hey!
So the haters shaking in their boots.
Oh,
I got to find out a new little thing to come at me for.
Take that, new whaler.
Yeah, thanks.
So what are you, 32?
33 last week.
And
yep.
Finally off your parents' cell plan.
Yeah,
is that great?
And they didn't kick me off. We woke up on Saturday morning. Santo and I said, the time is now. We are a family, and we created our own family plan over the weekend. So.
Oh,
good for you.
So you guys are like official.
We are, we are pretty official. I mean, when they asked like for a card to put down, technically Santo put his card down, but I will Venmo him for the bill every month.
Yeah. All right.
As long as I remember.
Do you feel like an adult? I mean,
they asked, they were like, oh, we need a card for the taxes on the phone because we got two new phones. And I like didn't look up from my phone. Yeah. And he said, Courtney, I said, none of my business.
Yeah. All right. Well, just limit it when it comes to the parlays. Limit the legs and limit the because I think he's a little bit concerned.
Oh, well.
Whenever somebody talks about somebody having a problem, why does everybody look at me?
Sure. I don't know. It's recovery advice.
Oh, okay. Good. You're doing great, Courtney.
All right.
You.
We're at Gillette Stadium. An apology issued late last night, Shine, following up on something we talked about earlier from Tyreek Stevenson, correct? Full apology?
Around 10 o'clock last night, he tweeted, to Chicago and my teammates, my apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down.
Nice.
What a jackass. I mean, what an absolute jackass.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking.
Would you sit him if he was your guy?
Oh, absolutely.
Or that's Wiggy's pausing and hesitating.
I might not sit him, but I would highlight him in the meeting, like just his stupidity on that, because he's celebrating knowing that there's a whole nother play, knowing that the team is on the field pre-snap, and he's celebrating as the receivers and everybody are running behind him. So I would definitely, we'd have a. you know, a nice little laugh at his expense.
I mean, that is forever. Talk about the just if that ball was tipped 3 inches one way, this guy doesn't have to live with the rest of his life. But because of that, that is going to be shown in Chicago forever.
That guy, who was the guy, too? Because he was trying to catch it with one hand instead of just batting it down.
Who's that? This guy was the guy.
This guy, so he was taunting
the
fans.
Oh, the same guy who wasn't?
Then sprinted over in front of the group of everybody else and tapped it into the air.
He was the first one to get his hand on the ball.
Yes.
He came over like a little bit late, and you see him jump dry and try to like swat it.
So that's a double douche move.
But
how great would it have been if he was mocking the fans and then got the interception?
Yeah, that would have been good.
It is a douche move, though.
Awful.
Like, just such a douche move.
It's like something the Patriots receivers might do.
Well, you know that there's still game
left. They would definitely go for the ball and miss it, yes.
By the way, the biggest...
Thornton,
the drop, the first quarter,
the booty drop too.
The booty drop,
just like
the Thornton one was in his chest.
It was such a beautiful, perfect pass.
In your chest, like, what are you doing? Like, I mean, they are the loudest and most vocal group of misinformed, blind. Unable to see your own skills group of wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, that's just it's insane to me. And I think Mayo kind of alluded to it a little bit. Like, if you're going to talk the talk, you better be able to walk the walk and back it up. And, you know, even Booty, like, he dropped a couple balls at opportunities. You guys brought up Tyquan Thornton.
No, I brought up Kendrick Bourne because Kendrick Bourne was vocal this week. And it seems like the louder that they are individually, the worst effort they have afterwards.
I honestly, and I don't think they were, but what popped in, I sent it to the group, was like, they betting against the team? Like, because honestly, it was six or seven of the worst drops you could ever see in an NFL game.
And I said Drake deserves better, but then Jacoby had some pretty good throws that just completely dropped out of nowhere. And it was like every single one of them was in the chest or right in the palm of their hands.
Well, it's also highlighted when you have receivers on the other football team that are making really, really good catches. Like, I mean, it's glaring when you see it that way.
If you had to rank, once Drake May got injured, order of best players, how long would it take you to have gotten to a Patriot in that game?
Think of the talent
mismatch
between
the Jets, from Quinnen Williams to Sauce Gardner to Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams to Garrett Wilson.
I mean, Breece Hall.
Your first
guy would be Christian Gonzalez.
Right.
Or Ramondre.
I would be Christian before Ramondre. And I don't know where, like you said, on the hierarchy.
Right, like how many Jets you'd have to go through before you hit Gonzalez. But it was just, it's so inexcusable. And for Aaron Rodgers, did you notice this too? So the Jets have the ball. They're up two, was it? They had the ball late in the fourth quarter.
I thought you were talking about first quarter when he was shaking his head.
They were trying to
draw him off, and it's like he didn't want to try to draw him off. He wanted to run a play, and then the clock runs down. They don't draw him off, and he's shaking his head like he knows better than the offensive coordinator. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that was a great example of him being a douche. Yeah. I just thought he completed a pass. It was a great throw and catch. Garrett Wilson down the sideline. Mm-hmm. That got them well into field goal range with like 2.5 minutes left. And they panned to Aaron Rodgers, and he went like this. Like, it felt to me like he thought the game was over when they completed that catch. It was like, we don't need a touchdown. We can get a field goal. They're not going to go down the field. Like, it just felt to me like, wait, it's still 2 minutes left in the game. The Patriots still have timeouts.
Yeah.
Even if you get a field goal, they still have the ball with a chance to win it.
Yeah, because I think it was, 16-14 at the time or something along those lines?
Yeah, they went up 19-14.
Well, it is a Mayo Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium awaiting Gerard Mayo, who will join us coming up very, very soon. If you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, you will win 2 tickets to see the Bruins and the Flyers tomorrow night at the Garden. So call now, 9th caller, and you're hooked up. Limited tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. That's Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. And as I mentioned, Gerard Mayo still to come, probably coming up next.